men of God have done with lesser things, give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom.
Back once again to speak of this great kingdom singers are singing about. Is that where you want to end your eternity, or begin, should I say, begin your eternity, or are you content just the way you are? Believe me, the way we are today is not going to continue forever. It's going to pass, and the question is going to be, where then will you spend eternity? Quite often this comes to my mind, and I think, well, just what is it that is keeping people away from this great and wonderful eternal reward that God has promised for His children? Well, there are several things. One is we have become so bogged down in the filth and the muck and the mud, spiritual mud, of this life that we have forgotten the resource from which comes that wonderful life that God has promised. And then we have also forgotten the requirements of obtaining it. Have you ever seen someone who, and I know you have, if you've bothered to question some folks about their feelings about God's Word, about the Bible? I think that is one of the most critical issues in the world today, and that is the fact that people are not overly concerned about what the Bible says about anything. People are very, very bogged down in the trivialities of trying to keep the flesh satisfied. And I want to give you some things today that will probably strike right straight home in your heart, or at least in someone's heart that you know. Are you having trouble in your family? Listen, folks. Listen, Dad, Mom, listen very carefully. If you are not having trouble in your home, you are indeed a very unique individual. Because invariably, when I go from place to place, talk to different people, in the course of the conversation, somewhere down the line, something comes out. Brother Jay, would you pray for my son, my daughter? Usually teenage, and they're running with a crowd that I just don't approve of, and I don't know where they're going. They're drinking, they're smoking, they're doing things that I know are not right, and they won't go to church, and even when they do go to church, they're involved with some gang, some group there that's banging around on guitars and beating on drums and jumping up and down like a bunch of crazy hyenas, and doing something they call singing, which is far, far from anything that we ever described as music. And what about this? What do you do? Well, it may be a little late to do anything about it, except pray. Of course, that's where we should start. Spend time on your knees before our great Lord and Savior Jesus and ask His direction and His correction about these things. Well, here it all is if you want to read for yourself. But of course, again, if you don't believe in God's Word, if you don't believe in the Bible, then it won't do just a whole lot of good to read it, but it still doesn't change the truth. But look at Jeremiah. You know, we've been working on Jeremiah for a long time here, and let me recommend again that you get a good New King James Bible. It's all right if you want to use the old King James, but get one with Dr. John MacArthur's notes at the bottom of the page. And one of my daughters brought a large print edition to me, and oh boy, do I ever need it. My eyes are not what they used to be, and I even remember when I had 20/20 vision, and my son, who usually directs our morning Bible study at church, called on me yesterday morning to read a scripture. Well, it's from Amos. Well, I know my Bible, but you know, I could not. Generally, I can just open a Bible and go pretty well to the scripture that I want to get. And, you know, if I'm on one side or the other of it, I know which way to turn. But I could not see it. I could not read the names. I couldn't read the print on the page. And finally, I, in a very embarrassed way, turned to the index and finally was able to make out the name Amos. Amos is not an easy one to find, but I made out the name Amos, and then the page number was in large print. Well, then I started looking for that because the numbers on the pages are not that large. And, you know, my good wife spoke up and went ahead and read it while I was looking for it. Well, being the pastor of the church, it's embarrassing when you couldn't find a scripture. Once I found it, I couldn't read it. I could not see the print on that page. I could see the print, but I couldn't tell what it said. So I have started carrying a magnifying glass around in my pocket. Unfortunately, did not have it with me yesterday morning, and I had to call on someone else to do the reading. When I got up to bring the morning message, I had certain scriptures I wanted read, and I had to call on someone in the audience to read those scriptures. So, dear friend, if you find it in your heart to do so, please pray that my health will return. I'm sure it's this degenerate heart disease that is causing a lot of the problems. And if you would just please pray for the return of my eyesight, that's one of the main things. If you can't see, you have a real hard time in broadcasting. Well, going on from there, Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. To this point, we have talked about a number of things from Jeremiah. For example, the 11th verse, there's the broken covenant. And if we back up little by little and go back to chapter 10, there are idols and the true God. And step by step, you will find, if you go the other direction, you'll find the peril of false teaching. You'll find the prophet mourns for the pulpit, for the people. And I think that is an application that I could well put to my own life, is that I mourn for the people today. Just what I have just been saying. The reason being, people are not concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Listen to Jeremiah's question then in chapter 12. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. This is Jeremiah talking directly to the Lord God. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why? You can just see Jeremiah looking at the Lord very intently and saying, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Lord, why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Have you ever known anybody like that, who are just absolutely carried away with the nonsense of their lives, and they are not concerned about each other? They're not concerned about, well, except for example, if they can get some response, some reaction, some reward for what they do. Listen to this. Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Can't talk today. You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. The Lord, now look, Lord, you planted these people, and here's their attitude. Why'd you do that, Lord? And here's some of the other things they do. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. Now notice that the word he is capitalized. It should be in your Bible. And that, of course, means God. And that's what these people are saying. I'm going to do what I want to do. God isn't looking anyway. So I'm just going to go right ahead and do what I want to do. Today, I want to give you some of the 1 minute spot messages that I do daily on the radio. I had people call from way down in Alabama and here, there, and the next place. And although we're on some of the stations there, a lot of the stations use these little 1 minute spots for what they call fillers. Maybe a lot of you don't know that stations have their problems also. And if someone ends a program too quick, or whatever the case may be, they throw in a musical number or something to fill in, so that the computer and all the timing devices function the way they're supposed to. Well, a lot of the stations are using these little filler spots. And by the way, station managers and those of you who are listening, call your station if you would like and say, hey, get in touch with Jay Cole and let him send these 1 minute filler spots, or 60 seconds, 1 minute filler spots. Well, I want to play some of those for you right now. And I hope these mean something to you, because if they don't, then, well, the first introductory statement that I make pretty well explains it. So you listen, if you will, while we play, and I hope the quality of this record is good. But would you listen and then respond to me? If you want these cassettes to pass around, I'll be glad to send as many as you like. So listen now as we give you some of the J. Cole Speaks Out. And just stand by until we get the things going here. And now I believe we have it. Push the wrong button.
Hi, folks. I'm Jay Cole. I want to share a few thoughts with you about a number of convictions that have burdened me for a long time. For many years, I prayed for a way to accomplish a ministry in an area that has been grossly neglected. A lot is said about the thousands of hours spent by millions of people watching meaningless television programs and listening to filth on many radio stations. In an attempt to correlate those facts with Christ's words when he said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, the light finally dawned. Take the message of God's salvation where the people are. So for over 2 years, I've been broadcasting short messages on the morning and evening news, on the Donahue and Geraldo shows, and on some of the filthiest of soap and rock shows. To most people, this is a rude interruption of their sinful, self-gratifying pursuits, but to others, it is the message of salvation. Where else would they ever hear that Christ offers salvation? The other group I want to reach is the dead church member and pastor. Rarely are pulpits any longer blessed with men who are willing to put their life on the line, as did the preachers of old and the early disciples who said what God told them to say instead of fearing loss of job or status. Where are our Jeremiahs? Where are the church members who are called to tell others about repentance and salvation through Christ? People who claim to be saved but are unwilling to draw fire to stop mad people, for example, from killing unborn babies. What has happened to the minds of those who are willingly ignorant of the things that are happening to their own children in the public schools? Since the atheistic ACLU has removed the Book of Life, the Bible, from our schools and introduced the doctrine of the New Age movement and a humanistic mentality, morality and education has been dealt a severe blow, and criminal activity has multiplied. As we see the events rapidly increasing which point to the imminent return of the Lord, I feel compelled to do whatever I can to tell those who have not heard that salvation is available through Christ, and remind professing believers that the time for repentance and service is about over. After listening to the spot messages that follow, please let me know if you feel that this is an effective and viable means of reaching the unreachable. Assume you were watching the 6 o'clock news and this message came on. I never cease to be amazed how recklessly the world uses the term peace on earth, goodwill toward men, with total disregard of the requirements to achieve that peace and goodwill. Many methods have been tried, such as communism, humanism, atheism, and New Ageism, but all have not only failed but produced a negative result. Sinful humanity normally translate the words peace and goodwill as meaning, let's do it my way and then we'll have peace. You see, unregenerate people rebel at authority and Christ makes a demand. In fact, one psychologist declared that 5-year-olds are insane because they're loyal to family and parental authority. The key to peace is found in the word unity, not self-made unity, but in the unity God has already established. The only peace ever known to man was provided through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But what if Christ had not come? Then there would be no peace, no unity, no forgiveness, and no salvation available. I'm Jay Cole.
And just keep listening.
Statistics show that only 11% of professing Christians read their Bibles every day. Is it any wonder then that so many churches are filled with spiritual darkness? When churches become social clubs and pastors compromise the truth of God's Word because of lack of commitment or fear of losing a job, that church becomes useless, no longer fulfilling its purpose. Most truly born-again believers know what the Bible says about the last days prior to the Lord's return for His children, and they recognize the presence of the predicted apostasy of the secular church. They understand the rapid unveiling of the prophecy concerning the Mideast and pre-tribulation events. The question then, just what will be the fate of the other 90% who attend church regularly and even act out some form of religion but do not know Christ personally? How about your church? Are souls coming to Christ to plead for forgiveness of sins and receive His salvation? Are believers being taught the Word of God? Sounds old-fashioned, but that's the way it works. I'm Jay Cole. The Bible says that in the last days men's heart would fail them for fear in looking after the things which are coming on the earth. There's never been a time when conditions were so seriously bleak as now, nor has there ever been a time when fear gripped mankind as the present. Just because coming events have never been experienced before certainly does not mean they will not come. For example, the bankruptcy of the nation, war in the Mideast, the AIDS epidemic, the destruction of our food and water supply by pollution, and worst of all, the spiritual bankruptcy of America. Humanistic philosophy has so completely devastated sound reasoning that man now strives for satisfaction from worldly pleasures such as business, sports, television, and other lusts of the flesh. Is it any wonder fear will overtake those who substitute Christ the Savior with New Age materialism? The Bible says that in those days men will cry out for the mountains to fall on them rather than yield to the Lord who made them. I find that astounding. Only one arrangement has been made for peace and joy. That's life in Christ Jesus. I'm Jay Cole. It's only natural that we desire that our children receive the best education available. Our budgets are strained to the limit, and we're viciously taxed while being denied a voice in the educational process. Quality education is founded on the principles of God's Word, the Bible, the only authoritative source for learning morality, decency, honesty, and maturity. But that irreplaceable resource has been removed from our public schools. The results are devastating. For example, the ACLU, along with other humanists, were responsible for removing the Bible and all other references to God from our tax-supported public schools. What, then, can we depend upon to teach our moldable school children the difference between right and wrong? The teen pregnancy epidemic, abortion, stealing, lying, drug and alcohol use, illicit sex, and every other sin has skyrocketed since that tragic day when the source of morality was banned from our school children. May the Lord have mercy on God rejecting America. I'm Jay Cole.
And just a couple more.
The Bible speaks more about Babylon than any other city except Jerusalem. Severe judgment is pronounced upon Babylon because of her prostitution, adulteries, murder, and pride. Could America be that spiritual Babylon the prophet speaks about? The sins of our people, the rejection of the Lord, and the humanistic attitude of America certainly parallel that of ancient Babylon. The psalmist said, "But man in his pomp will not endure. He is like the beasts that perish." The spiritually dead church is a picture of the Laodicean church, wealthy but lifeless. Thomas Aquinas once visited the Pope as he was counting a large sum of money. "You see, Thomas," said the Pope, "the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" "True, Holy Father," said Thomas, "and neither can it say to the lame anymore, 'Arise and walk.'" Yet our people are shameless, content to ignore sin and injustice as long as the social church guarantees our personal comforts. How long since we've prayed, "O Lord, restore your strength within us"? I'm Jay Cole.
And I hope that you will order those tapes. I hope that you will distribute them to your radio stations. And we would be very happy to make contact with them. And perhaps we can get on the air in your area with many, many of these good programs. At the moment, you can pick us up on about 10 different stations across the country. If you'll go to our website, www.saveournation.net, and scan down until you see the list of radio stations, the schedules, the times, that will give you one. In fact, you can print that off. And you'll have it handy if you care to listen or advertise this in your area. But I know a lot of the stations are using these short spots for, as I said, for fillers, because they get the point across that we wish to emphasize. There were many years that we had those on television, and I suppose we had more response, both positive and negative, from those television spots than from any other thing. People here who were former professors at the University of Arkansas here in Fayetteville would call in, and they would do everything in the world to try to put a stop to these, because they didn't want to hear them, and they didn't want to hear that their lives were not what God wanted them to be. So we had a lot of problems about that. But if you're brave enough to, you may want to sponsor some of these on your station, and we'll be most happy to get all the material to you that you can possibly use. Well, in just a few moments, I want to play a portion of a John Ankerberg show for you. John Ankerberg is another one of those, sort of like J.R. Church, with Prophecy in the News. John, I've known for many years. He and his dear wife, his wife is one of those wonderful people, and we knew her parents real well. Her mother was the organist and the pianist for the National Religious Broadcasters Conventions, and her dad would wander around through the tables at the meals playing the violin. What wonderful, wonderful people these are. And again, John Ankerberg, like J.R. Church and like many others, have no fear of preaching the gospel. John has just come from the hospital recently, and as I understand, he had a 10 bypass, a heart, open heart surgery. That's serious. I've had two one time and one another time, and that was far more than I hoped to ever have to go through again. It is no fun. But then I'm also on the wait list for a heart transplant, and I think they decided I was too ugly and too old to waste a heart on, and they installed one of the guided AICD units in my chest. I understand our dear brother Jim Kennedy down in Coral Ridge Ministries in Florida has just had one of those installed in his chest because he had a heart failure. He had a heart attack, and he needs your prayer. You know, I'm just absolutely devastated at the rapidity with which our good people, strong people in the Lord, are being taken away. But then so many who have been guilty of adultery, guilty of theft, of stealing people's funds that they're sending in, and all of the things that are going on. People who get up and wave both arms and scream, send me your money or else, and all of that sort of thing. I know we have to have funds to keep the radio and keep the television going. And I sincerely wish we had the funds to go back on television again, because, as I said, that seemed to be accomplishing getting the message across. But a one-hour program has adequate time to get a lot of material in. If you care to be involved, we would appreciate your gifts. But folks, don't let the money raisers occupy your heart, mind, and pocketbook. I want to mention another good organization, and that's CBMC, Christian Businessmen's Committee. I am a member, have been for years, and as the description goes, CBMC is a movement of men, and the motto, changing the lives of businessmen one man at a time. I've been to a few of the conventions, and what a program. When my brother Ted DeMoss was living, and he was president for many years, he too was a pilot, and so we shared a lot of things about in the world of flying. But brother Ted and his cousin Art, who owned a huge insurance company, he owned the company, not an agency. They gave so much to the Jerry Falwell Liberty University program, and we were so happy to make the acquaintance of these good people. But one by one, the Lord is taking them on. Dr. J. Vernon McGee is gone now. As we've mentioned before, our brother, dear brother, Adrian Rogers, has gone on to be with the Lord now. Our brother, Dr. John Walford, former president of Dallas Seminary, gone on to be with the Lord. Our dear brother, Wally Criswell, W. Criswell, for many, many years, pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, gone on at age 92 to be with the Lord. That was also the age of Dr. Walford. And there are so many of us that are getting on up in years. I will never be one of those famous speakers, but I do hope that the words that God laid on my heart will get across to someone, and somewhere down the line, I'll hear someone say, Jay, thank you for those words, and the Lord used your voice to convict me, and that His Holy Spirit has become the guidance, the guiding factor of my life. Listen to this, would you please? It has been very stimulating worship experience to mix what I believe God has taught me over the years with what Dallas Willard shares in his book, The Great Omission. Now, I have not read that book. This came to me from a dear brother, Herman Reese, who is director of the division of the CBMC over around Oklahoma City. And this dear brother, I have prayed for his wife, Marita, for years because she has cancer. But, you know, that thing is completely under control. And I understand that her health is doing great. Well, he goes on to say, discipleship is mentioned 269 times in the New Testament, and Christian, the word Christian, 3 times. However, the production of converts to Christ is emphasized far more than making disciples of Christ. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. Most of today's converts, Christians, are not being discipled. The great omission of discipleship from the Great Commission of Christ has resulted in the great disparity between the abundant, fulfilled life beyond all expectation and the actual life reality lived out in today's Christians. We must receive and appropriate enough faith to be assured that we are Christ's sheep and secure in His and the Father's hands, as John 10:27-30, before we can truly enjoy the abundant life Christ came to give, as John 10:10. We are ready to live in Christ when? When we know we are hid in Christ, in God, and when Christ is living his life in us, that you'll find in Colossians 3, verse 3, and also Galatians 2, and verse 20. Christ will handle anything that he and the Father permit to touch our lives. Well, the popular book, The Lost Art of Disciple Making, implies that it is optional for a convert to become a disciple than a disciple maker. Christ did not give the great suggestion, but the great commission, Matthew 28:18-20. You should know that by heart. Therefore, a Christ follower does not have the option of becoming a disciple maker, for he is not making disciples. He is not following Christ's command, as you go, make disciples. Such a person needs to test his faith and examine his life to be sure Christ is living in him. That's in 2 Corinthians 13:5. And again, folks, if we're not concerned about what God's Word says, all of this is of non-effect and a waste of time. He goes on, each Christ follower will make disciples in the way that fits his or her grace gifts from God. And then he goes on, how do converts become Christ-like? And we'll give you that at another time. But right now, I want to give you a short excerpt from one of the John Ankerberg tapes. And by the way, you can get these tapes once a month just by sending a small offering. I believe it's around $25 or $30 a month to the John Ankerberg folks. And I'll be glad to give you that address. You notice I don't spend a lot of time trying to get our broadcast paid for or raise money, but I'm just overjoyed at people like J.R. Church and like John Ankerberg and others who have massive, massive groups of people who are supporting them and helping them get the word out. So you feel free to help them. I can assure you these people are on the right track. Now, what you're going to hear tonight for probably 15 or 20 minutes here has to do with dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, these fake people who come to your door. A lot of them are very sincere. But folks, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. And that's exactly what the Jehovah's Witness cult has stooped to become. And of course, as John, you'll hear in the film, in the tape, these are videotapes and I'm taking the audio from them. But as he says, you go to the door and here's a couple of nicely dressed individuals who seem to be intelligent. And well, I'm just going to let you hear what he has to say and give you the ideas of what to do and how to respond. And here he is, John Ankerberg.
This week on the John Ankerberg Show.
A Jehovah's Witness comes to our door. I think all of us have had the doorbell ring or somebody knock on the door. And you look outside and here are two sharp-looking people that are there, but they've got a Watchtower magazine under their arm, you know, or an Awake magazine. And they're standing there, and there's a tip-off that they're a Jehovah's Witness. And we go to the door, and we wonder what we're going to say.
Do Jehovah's Witnesses really claim to be speaking for God, to be God's spokesman?
People seem to have a new disease called loss of memory.
They do not remember all the false prophecies that Jehovah's Witnesses made. They've announced the end of the world now 8 times, 1874, 1878, 1881, 1914, 1918, 1925, and 1975.
All documented in their literature.
In their own publication.
One of the things that the Jehovah's Witnesses will say is, listen, the Greek says you ought to translate John 1:1, a God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, not God. Dr. Kaunas, what would you say about that translation?
They did not approach the Greek New Testament saying, let's see what John believed, and then we'll decide what we believe. They approached John's text saying, Jesus is a God. Now we're going to show people that John actually said that.
I have some questions for Jehovah's Witnesses who love the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses are usually very sincere, dedicated people who believe the Bible is God's book. That's why we have a common ground, and that's why we're interested in helping Jehovah's Witnesses.
We invite you to join us.
Welcome tonight. Tonight we have the former Jehovah's Witnesses back with us. And we, if you remember, a few months ago, we did a series with Mr. Bill Sentner and Joan Sentner. Bill was the man that answered all of the questions for the Jehovah's Witnesses, actually from Brooklyn, as a JW, south of the Mason-Dixon line all the way to Texas. Then one day you found the Lord. And tonight you're here to tell us some more information. And actually you want to know, how would a Jehovah's Witness, an ex-JW, tell and inform us, help us, to witness to a Jehovah's Witness that would come to our door? And Bill and Joan, we're glad to have you here. And we have tonight with the former Jehovah's Witnesses somebody we did not have last time, and that's Dr. Bill Kaunas. And Robert Kaunas, I'm sorry, I keep getting all the Bills mixed up here. Bob, we're glad that you're here. And Bob has written a book that I haven't seen anyplace else. He did his PhD work in Greek, and he did his thesis work on the Jehovah's Witnesses New World Translation. And we're here to talk about what you found out in your research as a Greek scholar. So let's start this off. First of all, a Jehovah's Witness comes to our door. I think all of us have had the doorbell ring or somebody knock on the door, and you look outside and here are two sharp-looking people that are there, but they've got a Watchtower magazine under their arm, or an Awake magazine, and they're standing there, and there's a tip-off that they're a Jehovah's Witness. And we go to the door, and we wonder what we're going to say. Bill, what would you say to somebody that came to your house now as an ex-Jehovah's Witness? How would you start the conversation? How would you advise us to start the conversation?
I do say, when a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, I am so happy that you came by. I knew you were really coming. You did? Yes, Jesus said that you would be here in Matthew 7:15. What did he say? Jesus said to be aware of false prophets who come to you.
And
they're
going
to be dressed up
prophet.
In sheep's clothing. Well, I probably agree with you that you are not a false prophet. But I'm wondering if you are representing a prophet. Do Jehovah's Witnesses really claim to be speaking for God, to be God's spokesman?
All right, so you would start off with the claims that the Jehovah's Witnesses make as an organization.
Right.
Okay, and what do they claim?
Well, do Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be God's prophets? Now, the April Fool's Day, April 1st, Watchtower, 1972, says, they shall know that a prophet was among them. And then the important question, does Jehovah have a prophet to help them and to warn them of dangers and to declare things to come? And it says, identifying the prophet. And then the Watchtower identifies Jehovah's Christian Witnesses as being God's prophet. Now, that means that the information is not coming from the individual, from the president. It's coming from God through the president of Jehovah's Witnesses.
If I could ask you about, with that, let's start with some of the presidents. How about Charles Taze Russell, the first one, leader of the Jehovah's Witnesses?
We have pictures of all four.
Okay, what did Russell claim?
These presidents. Charles Taze Russell claimed that he was the angel of Laodicea, that he was the seventh messenger that God sent, and the most important one. He said he was the faithful and wise servant. And what is interesting is that the present president, who is Freddie Franz, says that Charles Taze Russell never claimed to be the faithful and wise servant, and The faithful and wise servant said, Charles Days Russell, that everybody who reads the Watchtower magazine believes that I am the faithful and wise servant. The next president said, our late beloved leader came into prominence as the chief representative of the Lord's people and stood before them as that servant of Matthew 24. So all Jehovah's Witnesses in 1879 up until 1916 believed that he was the faithful and wise servant spoken of in Matthew 24, and that he was a faithful and wise servant up until 1930.
Okay, so actually you've got the actual documents of the Jehovah's Witnesses, their
plus
Watchtower magazine.
Lie.
Okay.
Their current president said we never said it. And there's 6,000 pages that says he is the faithful wine servant, and everybody believed it. And even the Watchtower says that his writings were believed. He was the sole editor of the Watchtower, and that he says the only reason he didn't say it openly was because of his modesty and humility.
Okay. How about Judge Rutherford? After Russell came Rutherford, what kind of claims did he make about his authority?
He was the mouthpiece. Of Jehovah.
He actually said he was the mouthpiece of Jehovah God.
He took over where Russell left off. They gave him 10 years, but he'd have taken over the authority sooner, but he said that the world was going to end in 1925. All the churches would be annihilated in 1918, and that millions now living would never die. And that in 1925, fasten your seatbelt. In 1925, you would have to add a room to your house. And then you pick up the telephone, decorate it, and you can use the morticians, the undertakers, to decorate that room, because there'll be no dying after 1925. These poor fellows will be out of work, and they're used to decorating anyway. Why not use them to decorate this room? Once you get the room decorated, you pick up the telephone, and you call Jerusalem. And you ask for Abraham and say, Abe, my father's name is John Doe. My mother's name is Mary Doe. Would you resurrect them for me? And then you go to bed. And in the morning, you hear this rustling in this new room that you added. And they're trying to blow out the electric light because they had never seen electric light before. And they can't understand what this iron post is with a cup on it. These are the things that Jehovah's Witnesses put in writing, and I do not believe that there is a Jehovah's Witness in our audience or one that's on our television audience that have ever seen this book, The Way to Paradise, in 1925. And by the way, if you're a black person, you'll become white in 1925.
Oh, no.
Why would you want, as a black person, to become white?
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses said, I can hardly keep a straight face when we're talking about this.
Now, all these statements that you've been giving us are documented right in the book,
right
out of their own literature.
Right.
The Jehovah's Witness president, as with all other false prophets, told us that blacks would become, in 1924, they began to teach that the kingdom of God was established in 1925. Blacks would turn into whites, and this caused problems in Africa. And thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses, thousands of black Africans became Jehovah's Witnesses, because now they would get rid of the Goliath, who is the white man, because they would now be white. In fact, one Watchtower prophet, his name was Mwana Lisa, and he called himself the Son of God. He baptized people into Jehovah's Witnesses, but he also would try to get rid of demons. And the way he checked out whether you had a demon or were possessed is as he was baptizing, if you floated, that meant you were demon-possessed, and he would drown you.
How many did he drown?
A total of 174 people were murdered by Nirinda before he was caught by British colonial authorities. Now, the Watchtower, in their 1976 yearbook, says it's true that Mwana Lisa killed all these people, but you can't pin the blame on us because he was an indigenous Jehovah's Witness. In other words, he was a Jehovah's Witness from Africa. So that absolved them of any responsibility for what this man did.
Who do they claim is the editor of the Watchtower magazine?
Jehovah God.
Where do they say that? Document that.
In a trial before a court of law.
Mr. Franz was being sued for libel. The Watchtower Society was being sued. And the court asked him, who is the editor of the Watchtower, because it's the Watchtower that made the libelous statement about their own attorney. So he just simply wanted to know who wrote the article. But Mr. Franz says, it was Jehovah God. That probably lost the case for him. They lost it anyway. But Jehovah God is the editor of the Watchtower magazine.
Do they claim to be the only right religion on the earth?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where do they say that?
In the Watchtower, March 15th, 1952, they say that February 15th, 1955, they are the only right religion. Why? Because Jehovah God is the editor of the magazine.
All right, Bill, we're going to take a break right here, Bill. And when we come back, we want to find out. We want to find out, with all of these claims, we want to document some of the false prophecies that the prophet of God, through the years, has made that you actually have documented. Right. All right? We're going to do that when we come right back.
Just stay with us, folks. This program will be right back with you. And take some notes.
Going back and forth at all these claims that are made in the Watchtower, and you're recognizing them as such now, why did you believe at that time? How could you believe it?
There were probably two reasons. Number one, I was born at a very early age to two Jehovah's Witnesses, my mother and my father. I absolutely believed my parents. My parents became Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931. Now, at that time, they knew nothing about 1925, where Abraham was supposed to come up. The books are destroyed. Try and get a copy. I'd like to see someone get a copy of The Way to Paradise, written by the Watchtower Society.
Why?
In 1924.
What happened to it?
These publications are destroyed. The president of Jehovah's Witnesses called them in, and he said, we need them for our libraries in new kingdom halls, and their library is the furnace. So it's very, very difficult to get the original editions. Joan and I, Joan's father was a Jehovah's Witness during this time, and we asked him if they ever made a prophecy about the end of the world, and he said no. Joan's father deliberately lied to the both of us. So it kept. Now, the Watchtower takes, and every edition changes their prophecies. In the book, The Finished Mystery, they have over four editions, and in it, they predicted the end of the world four different times. And then finally, in the fourth one, they say, well, it's going to come sometime. or whenever it does come.
Give us some of those prophecies. Document it. Some people out there that are Jehovah's Witnesses that are listening in might be getting mad at us right now saying, I don't believe that. You're lying. Give it to us in our own literature.
The most recent one is 1975, and they say, now we never
said
anything.
Okay.
The Watchtower magazine in 1968, the Awake magazine in 1968, both said 1975 was the end of the 6,000 years of man's existence. And they'll say, yeah, but that's not Armageddon. But their book, let's see.
What is Armageddon for us?
Armageddon is the end, the annihilation of everyone who is not one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
So according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, when Armageddon gets here, and when was it supposed to get here?
1975.
October, was it supposed to get here?
1975.
And when that happens, all of us that are not Jehovah's Witnesses, what would happen to us?
You'd be destroyed from off of the face of the earth.
Well, obviously we're here, so that didn't work out.
The earth would be fumigated.
Okay.
But here's an illustration of what I mentioned to the young man who asked the question. Here's how they wrote it. The world's going to end before 1914. That's the original. And after 1914, they came out and put in the word after. The world's going to end after 1914, which is really brilliant.
Okay, so when did the first one come out?
The first one was before 1914.
Okay, and they
all
said
the editions
in 1914 it's going to end. And then after that, they published the same thing again?
The same page,
same book, and just changed the word.
And just made after 1914. What we did predict is the world's going to end after 1914. I believe everybody in our audience knows that the world's going to end after 1914. First, they said that they measured the pyramid in Egypt, and they said the distance from the outside of the pyramid to the pit, which is the center, which is obviously the end of the world.
Why would you measure a pyramid?
Why would you go to Egypt?
Their president believed in pyramidology, demonology. Jehovah's Witnesses presidents all have an affinity with men who are spiritists, such as Johannes Greber. But in this case, I'm zeroing in on pyramidology, and they measured these 3,416 inches, and each one of those inches represents a year. And you add that to 1542. Where'd they get that? They probably measured a window. Now, they put the two together, and it gave them 1874 when Jesus was going to return.
Okay.
Now, in the next edition, after it failed, they changed the inches in the pyramid.
The pyramid enlarged or got shorter?
The pyramid got
stretched.
40 inches longer, so they could have 40 more years for the end of the world. And then I checked the pyramid myself through scholars, and I found that both editions were wrong.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, people might be out there laughing, but you were one of the top honchos up there in Brooklyn. You were actually propagating this over the radio. You were training other people across the United States. You were answering questions. Why didn't you see that stuff and turn away from it?
Jehovah's Witnesses are encouraged not to read the old publications. It is called the old light. God is always progressing. What is really true is, according to them, God's always changing. God's a process of evolution. What he said yesterday doesn't go today. Now, it takes a period of time to realize that. In my teenage years, I relied heavily on my parents, and then I wanted to go to the Watchtower headquarters to really check them out. I wanted to sit next to the president of Jehovah's. I want to know how he holds his fork. I want to know how they really made these decisions. And I learned how they made the decisions in our editorial meetings. The president of Jehovah's Witnesses said, when we were in an argument about what we should write, he said, you can argue about it all you want. Once it gets off the sixth floor, which was the press room, where the presses turn out the books, he says, then it's the truth.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Let's for the folks that are listening in, what actually got to you one day that if you weren't able to look at that literature, and here you are, actually spreading across the United States Jehovah's Witness literature. And by the way, how many magazines go out every week? Right now?
10 million per week.
10 million magazines per week.
Per week. That's a big stack.
40 million magazines
per
a month.
That's six stacks of literature as high as the Empire State Building every day. That's another way to visually see it. Also, I'd like to add to answering that question. When my parents taught me that the Bible is God's book, I'd like this audience to know and Jehovah's Witnesses know that they all believe the Bible is God's book, and that's what really saved me, because I did really take that first principle as true, that the Bible is God's book, and I hope every Jehovah's Witness sticks to that, and he'll gain everlasting life.
Okay, coming back to this here, because we've got a few minutes left here, about 3 minutes now, the first thing that you would advise us to do in talking to a person that comes to our door that's a Jehovah's Witness is take out your book, the literature of the Jehovah's Witnesses themselves, show that they claim to be the
God's prophet,
the only true religion on earth, and then document in their own religion the false prophecies.
Right.
Are there any other outstanding false prophecies that they have made that you would mention right now?
The first false prophecy that their first president made, which no Jehovah's Witness is familiar with, is that they said that Jesus would come visibly on the earth in 1874. Visibly. When he refused to show up, the next year he wrote a booklet, The Object and Manner of Christ's Second Coming. And he said, Jesus really did come. You just can't see him. He's going to come invisibly. And he picked up a diaglot, which was written by a Christadelphian who never studied Greek, as our doctor here did. And he was a do-it-yourselfer in Greek, a linotype operator. And he created a Bible, and he took the word parousia, and he said, see, Jesus is going to be present, but not here physically, which is not what the Bible says. In fact, anybody who has ever read the last sentence in the book of Matthew, God's prophecy, Jesus' prophecy, is that he will be with us always.
Yeah, they have used that word, parousia. They have used that and said that they are the only ones that know how to translate that, and it's translated the same all the way through. Dr. Right. Countess, quickly, what would you say to that?
Well, they always translate it as presence, and they don't like the idea of a coming.
They don't like a visible
right.
presence,
they
a bodily like form of Jesus there.
Make it sort of an ethereal.
Is there any
sort of
verse
presence
in the Bible that stands out that can't be translated any other way than just the bodily presence of the Lord Jesus?
Every eye will see him.
Those are eyes of understanding, though.
What's an eye of understanding, or two eyes of understanding?
Well, you'll see it through your eyes of understanding. In other words, you'll read things in the Bible that you'll know that he came invisibly.
But so you actually won't see him, only the believers, and they'll feel it
somehow.
However, that same verse says that even those that pierced him will see him. Are you telling me, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, that the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross have eyes of understanding?
They would say no.
And what's interesting is they wrote a book in 1929, which was 15 years after 1914, saying that their eyes of understanding told them that he came in 1874. You should this person who wrote it in 1929 should have seen him come invisibly in 1914.
How many years did it take them then to figure out that they should have been seeing him?
Well, he was supposed to come in 1914. I would think they'd see him by December.
Right.
But they didn't see him till 1930.
Bill and Joan, why are you here tonight? Are we here just to put down the JWs?
No, we are here because Jesus made the warning in Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who are going to come to you, and they're going to have sheepskin on. They're going to look like Christians following the great shepherd Christ Jesus, but they'll kill you. They'll take away your everlasting life. Mr. Jehovah's Witness, you'd better pay attention to Jesus' warning. And he says you're going to recognize them, and you're going to recognize them by their product, which is false prophecies. A false prophet has one product, false prophecies.
What is the good news that you would want to share with them quickly?
Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The organization says, no, we are the way. And if you're in the organization, you're in the truth. And there is no life outside the organization. So that has taken the place of Jesus. And he said, there is no life outside of him. So he's the only way.
Jesus said you're going to die in your sins unless you believe that he is the I Am. No Jehovah's Witness believes that. That means every Jehovah's Witness is dead in his sins. The book of Revelation says that. Also, those are going to die in their sins.
Now, that's something that we need to pay attention to, folks, because it is not just a few of these people that are wandering around the earth here today. There are many of them, and it is very, very urgent that we take a very severe, if I can use that word, look at what they are purporting, what they're peddling off on the public today. It is no wonder they have been run out of various countries. It is no wonder that they have caused many a person to turn from the true and living way. There are a lot of cults, but that's just one of them. We have a little tract here, and I would love to send one or more to each and every one of you. It is entitled 15 Reasons Why I Could Never Be a Jehovah's Witness. Some young ladies came to our door a few days ago. We tried to give them one, and they would not take it. But they wanted us to take their watchtower. I have never seen, I think, anyone so unreasonable as these JWs. And if I have the time left here, in closing, my dear brother's article here from CBMC, Christian Businessman, Herman says, how then do converts become Christ-like? He says, we must see Jesus as the master teacher to whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's Colossians 2 and verse 3. He is the master of every area of life. He wants to teach us who we are and why we do what we do. We must learn that we are spiritual beings who will exist for eternity in God's great universe. Well, that's all we have time for today. I pray that you will get the material we have to send out to you. Just get in touch with me, J. Cole, or write to Mission Ministries in the address 16261 Pin Oak Road, Fayetteville, Arkansas 72704. That's 16261 Pin Oak, just like the tree, a road. Fayetteville, Arkansas 72704. And the phone number, if you care to call, area code 479-443-2135. Our website, www.saveournation.net. Saveournation.net. So much good material there, and we have so much good material to send out to you if you'll just get in touch with us and let us know that you want it and that you want to learn how to better serve our Lord Jesus Christ and to better answer these people. Oh, yes, when they come to your door, don't run them off. Invite them in and let them know that you have the living words of life. It's called God's Word. Well, I'm Jay Cole. This is Call to Action Live, and I hope you'll be back with us next time. In the meantime, folks, keep the prayer fire going. Please pray for this broadcast that we'll be able to stay on the air, and the Lord Jesus Christ may be praised because of it.
I trust in Thee, my Savior, my faithful friend and guide. For Thou to me art dearer than all on earth beside. O Jesus, my Redeemer, my song shall be of Thee. No other friend so constant, no friend so dear to me.